واتقوا فتنة لا تصيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة. Last night, when I used to start with this verse, واتقوا فتنة لا تصيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة. Guard yourself against that punishment that is not exclusive, not confined to the sinful. There can be some punishments that will strike and strike and get everybody. So what is that type of wrong that will generalize the punishment of Allah Ta'ala? Namaz given several situations that brings about this type of situation. One is where a wrong takes place and nobody is averse to that wrong. Or people may not indulge in it, but they become immune. Or they support the person that is doing the wrong. So either they have become averse, not concerned, cooperating with the person. You're not showing any type of dislike. You're not resenting it anyway. So when sin has reached that type of proportion, this invites the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. It invites the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. Because this is a blatant behavior. Behavior, but it's blatant. One is, person does a wrong, and he does the wrong quietly and secretly. That wrong still remains a wrong. You will not say that the wrong is correct in any way. But the other is that he is doing it openly, blatantly, and there's nobody to check him, nobody to correct him. This is quite serious. It is something for us to be concerned about. You're seeing the Haram Sharif. It's become a general pattern that people make the tawaf, and after making the tawaf, there is one person posing and the other is cameraing. Sometimes it's a woman to a man, sometimes it's a man to a woman. One is posing and one is taking the photo. So it comes to this level, you see, where the sin becomes totally open, and there's nobody to speak about it. Like in our communities, we have people not wearing beards, right? Then we are quite fine, we are quite comfortable with these people. At no stage do we object to it. We don't resent, we don't object, we don't speak out against it. We're comfortable with the person. You get situations where, are we talking of some of the situations, some of the aspects that relate to masjids, right? The wrong is not just confined to this area. It extends to other areas as well. But now let's look at those things that are practiced in the masjid. And then we just turn a blind eye, we're not even concerned. People coming to the masjid, and then they're wearing very tight clothing. right clothing, that is revealing their bodies, the body shapes are all being exposed. Satar area is clearly visible. The shape of the satar area is visible to one and all. But we are quite fine with it. We don't object to it, nothing. All right, not a problem. Right. Then a person comes into a masjid, is wearing a three-quarter, is wearing a t-shirt, no topi, scant regard to the masjid, and we are still fine, we still feel comfortable with that. So, at least someone should speak out against this thing. You don't have to shout, but educate. We don't have to despise, but we have to advise. So, what happens is that that person that is doing this thing here, maybe he doesn't know about it. And when we are silent about it, then he feels that these people also, they're condoning my action. So therefore, it is permissible. Had it been wrong, then they would have objected. But they're not objecting, so it shows that this is permissible. Every person is not accessible, every person is not approachable. But there are ways to correct the person, there are ways to correct a situation, to put the thing right, there are ways. So, in our circumstance as well, when we see something wrong, and we try and correct it, we can't speak to the person directly, indirectly we'll tell the person, get the message across somehow or the other, and see it's right. But we'll try and work a plan. Right? Don't work a plan. Now, these are some of the wrongs that we see in the masjid. Either the clothing is not right, either, like I said, is people are posing for photographs, right? Or they're coming in the masjid and they're not behaving themselves like they're supposed to be behaving. You see many a time, youngsters will come into the masjid and they will sit right at the back, right at the back. Now again, this is against the adab of the masjid. The adab of the masjid will be, you come right to the front. Where the hadith speaks about Allah Ta'ala and the malaika sending special blessings upon those people who occupy the front rows. Right? Now, there is a hadith which is saying that these people are blessed. Then, in spite of this hadith, someone goes and sits right at the back. As though Rasulullah is saying something and you're going directly against it. He's saying, here is the mercy and here is the blessings. And then knowing that this is the thing that's going to get you the mercy and the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, you go right at the back. And you see how it works out, how it pans out. Like someone came to a hospital, right? So they tell you that, you know, this is the procedure in the hospital. You must get your card and you must stand in this line here. So he's making the announcement. He's in charge. He's one of the authorities. And he says to you that this is how you get into this hospital. You get your card and you stand in this line here. Sit on this bench here, you'll get your service. Now you hear the announcement, and you avoid that person, you ignore the person, and sit at a distance. How does that person feel? He's telling you, see, you want your service, you want some type of good attention, we will give it to you, but pull this card here, and sit on this bench. Now you avoid the person, go and sit right behind the other end. How disappointed doesn't the person feel? Now, these wrongs are seen all the time, but there's nobody to correct it. I don't say everybody is in the position of correcting. And it's not everybody's work to correct as well. Because some people don't have the understanding how to correct. And when they don't have the understanding how to correct, then they will cause a problem. Start fighting, breaks up into an argument, right? Or that person stops coming to masjid altogether, we have greater problems. So this also has to be learned, how to correct a situation. Sometimes, in order to do a sunnah, you have to practice some faras. In order to complete a sunnah, you have to practice some faras. Like you have to read 2 rakat sunnah namaz, you have to do the faras of wuzu. Without the faras of wuzu, you can't do the sunnah. Someone wants to go directly and say, no, it's just a sunnah namaz, so let me just perform it. You know, you can't. You have to have this faras done before you do this sunnah. So, similarly, is this amar bil ma'ruf. At some stages it may be compulsory, at some levels it may be sunnah, at some levels it may be mustahab. Be it as it may, like the other sunnahs, have got certain adab, they've got certain shara'it. This amar bil ma'ruf also got certain shara'it, got certain conditions. So we just learnt one and we didn't learn the conditions of doing it, then it's incomplete. Like you learned to make 2 rakats of sunnah namaz, but you didn't learn to make the wuzu. So the condition that was attached, you didn't learn it. Now when that condition wasn't learned, then how is that sunnah going to be accomplished? Can't do it. So this verse is speaking about that type of punishment. The word fitna comes for what, 4 or 5 meanings, not just one meaning. Sometimes it is meant a trial, right? Sometimes it is a punishment, right? Sometimes it's got some other meaning. Sometimes it's got the meaning of kufr and disbelief. Fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl. You've got about 4 or 5 meanings. So here, wattaqu fitna will refer to a adab, a punishment. Fear that punishment. So, you see that punishment that Allah is speaking about, where a sin is practiced openly, and nobody wants to speak about it. And the reason why we don't want to speak about it is that everybody wants to appear to be good. Nobody wants to appear like the bad person. So in appearing to be the good person, you say, rather I just keep quiet. So that is not how we will take care of our deen. It's not how we protect our deen. If everybody has this attitude that, no, I want to appear to be the good person, tomorrow, say for example, it was your daughter or it was your wife and someone was interfering. So the third Muslim, he saw that someone was trying to interfere, but he felt, no, I want to appear to be nice, I don't want to do anything. Right? Then you get to know that this person was around when your daughter was being harassed like this, when your wife was being harassed, and he didn't do anything. How does he feel? Today it may be that person's wife that is being interfered with. Tomorrow it may be your wife. Yesterday it was his daughter. Tomorrow it may be your daughter. What are you going to do? So, to the level that you can correct and bring about a correction, you need to bring about the correction. The principle you have to remember, as a general principle, you use an approach that will not bring about an argument, a fight, or a worse situation. It will not worsen the situation. Like I said, the person is misbehaving in the masjid. So you don't use an approach that will make it even worse. For example, that person doesn't come to masjid now. You'll correct him, but correct him in a nice way. One person didn't have his beard right, right? So he's coming to the masjid and someone corrected him in this way. Yeah, He thinks his hafiz is too great. He thinks his hafiz is too great. He's indemnified from keeping a beard. Now, this is the style that he used to correct him. Now, that hafiz left coming to the masjid. So, like it was this person's stupidity not to keep a beard, then to correct him in that style also was not right. Both this is not right, and that is not right. Now, it was an approach that was required. What was the approach that was required to correct the person? You could have used another style, you could use another approach. Admiral Tanvi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, had to meet one friend of his. So, it was around the time where they used to have the urus at the Nizamuddin Dargah, right? So to meet one person. So this person is saying, but aren't you coming to the urus? So Mullah said, I won't be able to come. So he wanted to know why is Mullah not going to attend. But meanwhile, there's all those people sitting there that are going to be attending the urus. Is some of these gatherings they have. The gatherings, the beginnings may have been right. The beginnings may have been right. Like the word urus, for example, urus refers to a wedding, right? Or to a person that's just married. Like the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, when the dead person is made to lie in his grave, and is told, Nam kanawmatil arus. Sleep like how a bride sleeps, you know, nobody to disturb. Comfortable, relaxed, calm. So sleep like that. So as a good fortune, you know, I won't say fortune, but as a good omen, when a saintly person has passed away, so they began to call it a day of urus, as though he's a jannati. So when he's going to be a jannati, then inshallah this verse will be told to him by the malaika when he's made to lie in his grave. Therefore they call it yomul arus. Now, how it started off like this, that they may have been a pious person, an alim, a buzrug, a sheikh, they must be a great person, right? The alim may have had a good following, or that buzrug may have had a great following, right? And he passed away. When he passed away, so his following thought to themselves, his people and his teachings must be preserved. His people must be preserved, and his teachings also must be preserved. Right. It mustn't be that his teaching and his people must all die with his death. Like, for example, you got tabligh jamaat, right? Or you got a madrasa, right? So it mustn't be that with the dying of the founder and the work and the people that were working, you know, all die, everything's finished. It ends up there. It must continue. Right? That's every person's desire, that it must continue. Now, they thought to themselves, all right, when we need this thing to continue, then how do we continue this thing? When we need this thing to continue, then how do we continue it? So the easy way to continue it is to call people under the auspices of the urus, the day that he passed away. Because the day that he passed away, everybody is emotional, right? On this day of Ramadan, for example, so-and-so passed away. Right? So on that day, if you call people, so they become a little bit emotional and the response will be better. So this was perhaps the beginning. Right? So when they would call people yearly in that style, then they would have an occasion to reorientate people, correct them. Someone's namaz is not right, to get his namaz right. Someone's wuzu is not right, to get his wuzu right. Someone's clothing or beard wasn't right, to get that right. Someone's dealings were not right, to get it right. His domestic life wasn't right, so to get that right. So they were teaching the sunnahs, mustahabat, the farais, etc. of deen. Right? Perhaps it must be over 2 weeks, a 2 weeks affair. When the 2 weeks affair, one day something is being taught, the second day something else is taught, the third day something else is taught. So you came there for the 2 weeks, and all these things were brushed up. All these things were revived, were brushed up in you. And you went back now, you know, right, domestic life, this was my wrong. I'm doing my namaz, but my children and my wife are not doing their namaz. I'm reciting Quran Sharif, but they're not reciting Quran Sharif, so I need to do something about this. Right? Or my business is not right. My business, I'm getting involved in interest, etc. So I need to get this thing right. So it was like a 2 week affair. So in the 2 weeks, people were getting brushed up. They were getting all straightened up. See? And when they go back home, so they know their problem areas and they know how to rectify themselves. So this is how the beginning of this Urus used to be. Then, with the passage of time, then people lost the very purpose of the work. What was the purpose of the work? What was the idea? What was the aim and object? They lost that. When they lost the aim and the object, they felt that the day was the auspicious thing, not the work. Here they confused themselves. First, they understood that we are calling them for the work. This is the agenda. We're calling them on this day just because of convenience. We're not attaching any importance to the day. We're attaching the importance to their deen, not to the day. So this is how it started off. So they got people right on that line. Now, you can imagine now 1 century passed, 2nd century, 3rd century. Now, as the time is passing, people began to feel that agenda which they were being called for is the day. The day becomes the most important thing. So when the day becomes the most important thing, now that functions, you know, that they call people and for, you know, the agenda that they call for, all was lost. When that was lost, so this became a pure innovation. It became a gathering without any direction. So they're gathering, but no direction. You're going there for what? Going for Ghiyarvi Sharif for what? You're going for Urus, what are you going for? Or this person passed away, so what? Why are you going there for? So you're going there, but you don't know what you're going for. You're going for the Ghiyarvi Sharif, but you don't know what you're going for. All you know is that person passed away on this day. We're going to commemorate that day. But what is the purpose? So initially it was to learn all those farais, those sunnahs, etc. That was the whole purpose. Then when time passed, then that ilm was covered with ignorance. It was covered with ignorance. Now the whole aim changed from the objectives to the death of the person. Now, the death of the person became the most important thing. So we have to celebrate or commemorate that day. And the commemorating of the day, they'll feed and they'll do whatever things they have to do, and they'll continue with their lives. So, was it of any dini significance? Did it bring any dini good? So, this type of thing started off, they started off correctly. But then, with the passage of time, this is the wrong that got into the thing. And then the ulama were under constraint then to stop these things. Right? This is not right, it's bidat. At that time, you started it off, the whole niyat was different. Intention was different. Now, it's a thing that's baseless. It's got no base. It's got no function. It's got no proper agenda and direction. So it will be compulsory for you to stop it off, to end it off. Like, for example, in this day, you are tabligh, right? So the whole istima is for what? The istima is to create an atmosphere of encouragement. So encouragement in three levels. At one level, it will be an encouragement to take out Jamaat, right? Because you're seeing so many people coming out for Jamaat. One Jamaat is going out, so the next person is getting encouraged, the third person getting encouraged, the fourth person getting... So there's an encouragement and more people are coming out, right? So at one level, it's an encouragement for people to go out in Jamaat, right? At the second level, those people that had some affiliation with the Jamaat, right, that they become refreshed. There's some a 3-day stayover, all this advice is given, corrections, the weaknesses are pointed out, right? So those people that were in Jamaat now they get refreshed, they get retuned, they get corrected, they get some new direction, all right? We had this problem here, and this is what the elders are saying, that this is how we go about doing this, right? We had a problem in doing the talim, you know. For example, the talim was too long after Isha. We got the talim for half an hour. So we now the talim is there for half an hour. We know now it's going to be half an hour, so we will not sit. Right? So now the elders came in, and the elders were shown that this is the problem, that the talim is stretching too long. When it's too long, then people can't manage sitting so long. So therefore, you're not getting the type of people sitting there that you would desire. So they will say, all right, now correct it. How you will do it now? They'll show you another way of doing it. Say, do it for 10 minutes and then let the crowd leave. And those people that are committed workers, they can still sit for longer. So you did it for 10 minutes and people can manage it. You're getting a proper crowd and they left after the 10 minutes. Now those brothers that are committed or those that are wanting to sit there optionally, they can sit. So you have accommodated for both the crowds, those that are new, not committed, and those that are committed. So you made a provision for both. See? So the one level of the istima is to take out the Jamaat. The second is those that were already affiliated, to give them a direction, to correct them, to brush them up, to do that, right? Then at the third level, you got people that are coming there for the first time were brand new, right? Now, for the brand new people, it's a little bit of a motivation, right? It's a motivation, right? Seeing Islam alive. Right? So everybody's wearing kurtas, they're doing namaz, they're seeing all this thing here. So they want to also come in line, right? Because you see an environment. Right? You may be living in an area where there are very few Muslims. When there are very few Muslims in the area that you are living, so you become demotivated because you don't see Islam alive there. It's a small village that you're living, 10 people, and hardly any person coming to the masjid, so you get demotivated. Now, you went there and you saw so many Muslims here, there, and all that, so you became motivated. And you established some taluk with the older Jamaats to come and service your area. So that is the third level. So you're getting some work. Now for example, if the istima, Allah Ta'ala forbid, right, it only is you come there and they'll give 1-2 talks and they'll give you good food and they'll send you away after that. So what you'll say, now it's lost its purpose. The actual purpose, it's lost its purpose. So there's no need to come to the istima. That's what they would say, isn't it? So as long as they got the itinerary right, they got the programs right, they got the aims and agendas, they got it right, so we'll see it must continue and in the name of what they are calling you, that is great. What they want to do and what the aim is very great, so we need to cooperate with it. You see, but sometimes with the passage of time, then the ignorance overtakes it. People begin to lose the real aim. They lose the real goal. When they lose the real goal, then they say, no, you stop it now. Because it's become redundant now. There's no fayda in this thing. There's no fayda in it. What's the need of spending this type of money? What's the need of doing this type of thing? So what we are talking about, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. And now, gave an example of an istima, right? If a person goes to this type of a gathering, an istima or something, right? But he goes with a clear eyes, clear mind. And for the 3 days that he's there, he sees quite a bit of Islam, how Muslims do live, right? Those responsible brothers, they also conduct themselves very responsibly, right? The ikram, the interaction, their socializing, their namazes, everything goes on very, very well. So that person that is new, brand new, he'll emulate the examples. Now, on the side of the responsible brothers, they need to become more responsible in this type of a situation. This type of situation, they must become even more responsible. So Mawlana Mufti Zain Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say that the Jamaat sometimes they go into areas. But the Jamaat now, they know the aims, and they know a little bit experience, because they have spent time with the elders. When they spend time with the elders, they know the aims, and they know how to go about running the work. So they went into an area, and they went there long before the namaz time. Say, namaz is say at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock, so they went in at about 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, whatever they need to do, wuzu, toilet, or have some snacks or something, they did everything. And then they got their saman on one side of the masjid. And they set up the saman nicely, covered it up properly, respectfully. And then quite a few minutes before the azan can start, they are all in the rows. In the first row, everybody is sitting with other, as the azan is going on, they're sitting attentively and answering the azan, then they're reading the sunnah, then they end the faraz. So when the townspeople are coming in, so they feel that these people are good people. They're showing a good example. They came here, and they came here without any noise. And they brought their saman, and see how respectfully clean, neat they laid their saman, right? Then they have come to the masjid in the first rows, they occupied it, and they even talking at the time of azan, so respectful. Right? So people of the town are observing. So the thing that is required from the old brothers is they must become more responsible. Because they're being emulated, they're being followed. So when they're being followed, then you need to be more responsible. Now the same will apply to the ustad at a madrasa. Right? This one is to the old brothers, and one is to the ustads that are at a madrasa. That in every respect now, you must think that I am being followed, I am being emulated. There was a case we had to handle, right? One ustad was beating up one child, and he beat him up more than what he is supposed to be beating him up, right? So we asked him now, why did you beat up the child? He said, not because my ustad also hit me, I must hit this one here. Because my ustad beat me, so I must beat my student. Now you see where he takes the cue from. One ustad was asked, you know what, you're coming late to class, you're not coming on time. It's like a routine in yourself. You know. So he said, no, but my ustad was doing the same thing, 10 minutes, 15 minutes every day. He was coming with a delay. So when he's coming daily with a delay, then I must do the same thing. If it was so important that I must come on time, then my ustad would have done it. But because he was not coming on time, so I also don't need to come on time. Now see where he learns it from, where he got the cue from. So the older ustad, he needs to understand that he's being emulated, he's being followed. And he needs to correct himself all the time. If the ustad thing is the old ustad thing, you know, I'm perfect now, I'm beyond correction. Right? I'm beyond correction, then that's a collapse of the whole system. Now he doesn't accept any correction. For everything you were telling him, he's got some excuse. No, I got this excuse here. I got this problem here. So for everything he's got an explanation. Now how do you correct the person? Then there's no way you're going to correct him. When there's no way you're going to correct him, then the whole system will collapse. See, I'm showing you from the Urus, extending the whole. So those that are older, then they need to be sure of themselves, that are they correcting themselves, are they improving themselves all the time. just reading some of the halat of Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Most of us may have heard this halat, but I'm just showing it from another perspective, right? So he went to one of his teachers and he asked the teacher for maaf. So the teacher happened to be a blind teacher. Can't remember the name now. Happened to be a blind teacher. So he's asking the ustad for a maaf. So the ustad wants to know, why are you asking for a maaf? No, once you were explaining hadith, right? But whilst you were explaining, then you were making a lot of movements with your hand and your feet. Like some people talk, then there's a lot of action in their talk, right? So I couldn't help laughing. What Imam Sahib is saying, I couldn't help laughing, I couldn't help smiling. Who was holding my laugh, you know? Because I was seeing his actions, how you're carrying on, and I couldn't. So that would amount to me making a mockery of you. You know, if you look at it from a different perspective, like you're making a mockery of a person. And the Quran Sharif prohibits, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Don't make a mockery of another person, right? So I did this. So therefore, I'm asking for a maaf. Though what Imam Bukhari Sabrahman did was totally involuntary. You know, someone is doing something funny, then you're just forced to laugh. Right? Aren't you forced to laugh? Someone did something funny, then you can't hold yourself. You want to laugh, right? Right. Just for example now, someone passed wind, right? So you don't want to laugh, but the laugh will just come out. You're not supposed to be laughing, right? Because you do the same thing as well. So if the next person did it, then why should you laugh? But when that does happen, then you just break out laughing, right? You're not supposed to be laughing at the time. Now look at the higher level, that refined level of taqwa and righteousness, hukukul ibad, righteousness, taqwa. When Allah Pak blesses, then these are the reasons why Allah Pak blesses. So, Ustaz said, no, I don't even take note of this thing here, don't worry about it. Right. That is one incident I came across. The other incident I came across, the refined taqwa, aspects of taqwa, but very refined. So, look at that refinement in Imam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. They say he was an archer and very good, you know. In his whole life, perhaps once or twice, he must have missed the mark. Now, you can understand now, that time in his archery and all that, there isn't any binoculars and all that. But without that binoculars and to be so accurate that in your whole life, once or twice made a mistake, otherwise you got it on the mark. Right? Imagine how perfect he must have been. So once he's practicing archery, and he got something of someone, some furniture or something, whatever it was, he got it, so it was damaged. So straight away he stopped, and he says to the person whose furniture it was, he says, you either allow me to come fix it up, or take the equivalent. Whatever that damage is, then you take the amount. Say the damage comes to, say, 1,000 rands, then take the 1,000 rands. So that person was so overwhelmed, he said, Imam Sahib, all my wealth is for you. All my wealth is yours. How can I ever take anything from you? Imam Sahib was happy with the person's love and his respect. But then he didn't leave it at that point. What he did after that, was he took out about 500 dirhams or something and he gave it out in sadaqah, cleared it up. Now, when Allah Ta'ala blesses them, these other things, one is he blesses for this type of things. And the second thing we need to understand also, that when a person is going at the higher levels of ilm, he's progressing in ilm, then proportionate must be the levels of his taqwa. If the level of ilm is higher, then the level of taqwa and righteousness must be proportionately higher. That's going to be expected of the person. Otherwise, the ilm is high, but there is no taqwa that is supporting it, then it doesn't give it that attraction, it doesn't give it that look. You know, people don't show that respect to that ilm after that. But that is because of your weakness. So now, we are just talking of one, two things. Imagine just coming a little bit late. Right? See, if it was once in the year, all right, you overlooked it. But it was a routine, then you have to correct yourself. Imam Bukhari said, now, here, just to discipline himself and correct himself, then he would just eat roti and whatever other things that are ate with the bread, he would avoid eating it. Maybe some type of curry or some type of spice, whatever, he would avoid eating it. He says that it upsets the tummy or something, and his wuzu can't remain like how it's supposed to be remaining. So his whole life he left it out. But just to keep the stomach right, he avoided that. Now, you see the righteousness, taqwa. Because he thought to himself, then I can't do my function, I can't do my work. It's either my stomach or my work. Now, I want my comforts and my luxuries, then I can't do my functions. And if I want my functions to happen, then I need to then sacrifice my comforts, one of the two. But you see how he planned himself. And then he didn't live very long, about 62 years. But in the 62 years, what a masterpiece he did. And up till now, 1,200, 1,300 years have passed, but still we take his name. But you see this, what the achievement, the masterpiece. Right? So when we look at these people, we're only looking at tunnel vision. That's the whole problem today. Tunnel vision, one narrow vision. Well, he this was his achievements, so let's achieve it. So we're only looking at Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullahi in his ilm, in his righteousness, in his virtue, etc. You're looking at all that. They say in Ramadan, that every third day is to make a khatam in Taraweeh, every third day. And daily is to make a khatam. That was at night, every third day. And during the day, one khatam you will make. So one is at night, and one is during the day, what he's doing. See his amal, how he's dividing it. And he used to be leading the Taraweeh with his friends. He used to be leading the Taraweeh. He's leading the Taraweeh there behind him. So he's doing that at night, and during the day, he's completing on Quran Sharif again on his own. This, talking of righteousness, talking of those reasons which attract the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. Then that adab comes, that punishment comes. See, this punishment also comes gradually. You leave out one thing, and it goes on to the second thing, and the third thing, and there's a collapse. Now you can't correct the next person because you're not doing it yourself. Right? You're not doing yourself, so how are you going to correct the next person? The next person also. See? So you need to correct yourself, so that your student, the person that is lower than you, he will correct himself. But if you're not doing it yourself, how do you expect him to do it? So then one thing then adds to the other, leads to the other, second thing, and third thing, and fourth thing, and then the whole system just collapses. How difficult don't you feel if you are at an immigration and those officers, right, they are delaying taking a passport or taking 10 minutes, 15 minutes on a per person, they're taking 10 minutes, 12 minutes, and then they're letting them through. So how difficult don't you feel? It's very difficult, right? Why you find it difficult? Because he's not doing his work properly. Had he known how to do his work properly and diligently, then it wouldn't have been a delay for these people that are coming through. But because he doesn't do his work properly, then he's causing takleef. So that person that is sitting there, he needs to do his work diligently, official. He's in charge of so many people, right? And because he's negligent, so he's causing so much of takleef to so many people. So the same would happen at a madrasa now, that if the ustad is negligent, then he's causing so much of takleef to so many people, right? There may be some of the boys that are happy, ustad is not coming late, right? But there'll be those that will feel hurt. And for two reasons they'll be hurt. One is our time is going, 10 minutes is gone. The other reason will be now, they will feel that only the Ustad's time is valuable, our time is not valuable. Because, say for example, now he has to teach till 11 o'clock, right? And 11 o'clock is the break, or they got a short time for break, for lunch, etc. Now, he has to, because he's come late, so he has to pull in to the break time. When he's to pull into the break time, so their break time, their interval, their resting times are getting affected. Isn't it getting affected? But it's because of his negligence. So they're getting taklif for two reasons. Understand? So the way will make it appear as though what I do, I'm beyond correction. But you must do it correctly. Now then that passes on to the student. The student becomes negligent as well. How much of taklif he goes through? Like I say, that in that immigration, don't you feel pain? Don't you feel hurtful? He's not doing it right. He's not doing it right. He must do it right. Don't we feel like that? What's wrong with these people? But then, do we look within ourselves? You see now this thing has become contagious. From one person to the second person, third person. Eventually, the whole system just collapses. So for the system to work, one person has to sacrifice. No matter what difficulty he's going through, but he has to sacrifice. He sacrifices and the whole thing goes well. He's going to some pain, he's going to some difficulty, but for the rahat of others, he doesn't mind going to the difficulty, but others can benefit. Now, deen comes alive like that. See, if I feel I must just do my part, that's all, then it doesn't come out like that. It comes when the next person thinks, all right, let me put on a little bit more, let me take on a little bit more responsibility. I'll go through the difficulty, but let that person be in comfort and ease. But I want to be in ease, and then I want the deen to flourish, it doesn't happen. So I have to get into some difficulty for the rest of the people to be in ease. We're talking about this. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ اللَّهُ تُصِيبًا لَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًّا. What I'm showing is a chain reaction. One thing to the other, to the third, to the fourth. So this chain reaction is very, very important. So one is to do your obligations, and one is to do a little bit more, like how the Quran Sharif is saying. إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Our rights, we're taking it fully. When we have to weigh or measure, so our rights, our dues, we're taking it fully. But people's dues, are we giving it to them fully, complete? When we want to take our rights, no, I want my last cent. But when I have to give you your dues, am I giving you your dues fully? So we need to think like this, like I want my dues and I want it complete. Then I need to give the people their dues also and I need to give it to them completely. Like I like my dues, I like my things, then they like their things as well. So if I'm going to think like this, I'm going to reason like this, then they will be at ease. Though I will go through some difficulty, but they will be at ease. إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. I know when we were in Darul Deoban, so on the Thursdays, we used to go out in Jamaat, right? So those that used to go out in Jamaat, they had an arrangement within themselves that they will be in class at least 5 minutes before the time. They will not delay coming to class. And they will show the utmost respect to the Ustad, utmost respect to the time. They will come there before time. And also the mutala, etc., they will not be negligent in that respect. So if they are called to, for example, read the Ibarat, they will be reading the Ibarat. Now, we used to practice it, alhamdulillah, come before the time, and go through the Ibarat, etc., before the class, right, and show the respect. Now, that in itself had a great, great impression on the rest of the madrasa, as well as the officials. You know, these people, they come on time. They don't come with a delay. Now, imagine if we were going out in Jamaat, and we're coming with a delay to class, right? Or we're not doing the mutala. Now, what negative impression it would have had? Yeah, these people go in Jamaat, they're not worried about it. They're coming for something else here. What they came for? Came to do Jamaat work here, or they came to study? What they came for? But now they look at it other way around. That those that go out in Jamaat, they are very particular in the classes. They are very particular in their mutala. They are very particular in their duties. Now you see how they look at it. Now they look at it differently. So your behavior in itself becomes an invitation. And you join this thing here, you'll also become like this. So how important it is for those that are senior in anything, you know, whether it's in Jamaat, whether it's in Madrasa, whether it's in anything else, that senior has to take that one step, one additional step. You'll have to go through that pain, but you have to take that one additional step. Then you will see now, everybody are falling in line. Allah Baktawfi.